Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Well, I want to look at just this single verse really today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And my title for this evening's message is Christ Desiring Entry into Our Lives. What an amazing thing, friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ will condescend to desire entry into our lives, into my life. Who, me? Me? Christ would want to come to my home, as it were. Christ would want to fellowship with me. Christ comes to reconcile me to himself. Christ comes to bless me. What an amazing thing it is. What an amazing thing it is that he would condescend in such a way to knock at the door of my life. But we'll look at this, but I just want to say just one thing about this church that he is writing to. It's a letter to the church at Laodicea, and there's one or two things that he mentions with them, but especially he mentions that this church is somewhat lukewarm in its love to the Savior. And the Lord says, I wish you were not lukewarm. I wish you were either hot or cold. Either you love me fervently or didn't love me at all, in a sense. He wishes that they were, of course, preferably on fire, as it were, for the Savior, loved him dearly. How can we love him any less? How can we love him in a half-hearted way? And it's a lesson also for us, friends, that we cannot want the Lord and want something else alongside it. If we want salvation, we must want it wholly, completely. We must be willing to give our hearts and our lives to Christ. We cannot say, I want the Savior, and at the same time, I also want this world. I also want what the world is offering to me. I like both. I want to keep my hands on both. And so I will give some of my heart and some of my affections to Christ. And I will give some of my other parts of my affections to this world and to my selfish ambitions. It doesn't work like that, friends. If we want the Lord, he must have all of our hearts. And so Christ called on this church to repent and to renew her fellowship with him and to renew their love to him. But let's look in particular really at this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Well, if anyone knocks at your door, surely the very first thought that will come to your mind is, who is it? Who's this knocking at my door? I wonder who it is who's coming. Who's ringing the bell in modern terms? And that's a question I would also like to ask. Who is this that is standing at the door? Who is this person? Well, it's the same person that we read of in Revelation chapter 1, the very beginning of this book, and verse 8. Oh, there are many things that we could say about this person, but let me just tell you one thing here. This person refers to himself, Revelation 1, 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. The Alpha and the Omega, well, those were the Greek letters, the beginning of the Greek alphabet, Alpha, the end of the Greek alphabet, Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This person is saying that he is the beginning and the end of all things. This person was at the beginning of time, and he will be at the end of time. He was at the beginning of all things, and he will be at its close as well. In other words, friends, this person has always existed. This person is eternal. This person will always exist. He is eternal. He can never die. This person is divine. This person is God. This person, friends, as I'm sure you know, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who is speaking these words. He is the beginning and the end, the Almighty, the Omnipotent One. It is God, friends, who is knocking at the door of your life. It is Christ himself, personally we could say, who is knocking at the door of your life, seeking entry into your heart, seeking entry into your life. The one who is your creator, the one who made you and fashioned you as you are, the one who gave you the skills in life that you have. It comes from him. The one who gave you your intelligence and your abilities. Oh, friends, this is the one who is knocking at your door. The one who is your preserver is knocking at the door of your life. The one who is sustaining your life every single moment. Every breath that you take, it's come from him. He has given you these things. He is keeping you alive. He is your benefactor. That is, he is your provider. The one who is blessing you even now with good things, even though you may not recognize, and you never thank him for it, and you never ever thanked him for it, yet he still gives you good things to enjoy. He still gives you some happy days in life. He still blesses you in so many ways, hoping that as you see and recognize his goodness, you will turn to him and you will glorify him in your life. Is all of your life's blessings, friends, it comes from the Lord Jesus. This is the one who is standing at the door of your heart. He is the Redeemer of sinners. Christ, who came into this world to give his life for sinners. He didn't come to give his life for good people. He didn't come to give his life for the righteous. He came to give his life for rebellious people, for people who had messed up their lives, for people who had done the worst, for people who know that they are terrible rebels against God. He came to die for those who were his enemies, those who were opposed to him, those who didn't like him, those who hated him and detested him. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give his life for them, to die in the place of all those who will believe in him, to pay for their punishment. Think about that, friends. He came to bear their punishment, their load of guilt upon himself, to die in their place. Oh, this is no ordinary person who has done all these things, who comes near to you and beseeches you to open the door of your heart, of your life, and to welcome him in. This is an amazing person, friends. This is no ordinary person who stands and calls and beckons to you. Surely this should get our attention. Surely this should arouse us. Surely this should make us run to the door and open that door and welcome him in. Surely we would fling the door open and welcome him in with both arms. Come in, Lord. Come in. What a privilege, what an honor to have you visit me, to have you into my life. Oh, Lord, that thou dost condescend to even draw near to me. I feel it such an honor, such a blessing. Isn't that the way that we should respond to him? Isn't it something he can quite rightly expect from us? That we should throw open that door, having demonstrated such love, the very least he can expect from us is that we will open wide our hearts to him and give him our hearts, return our love to him. If the queen comes to your door, that will never happen, I think. But if the queen ever came to your home, well, she would expect to gain entry. She would expect you to open the door because of her status and her position as a queen. But she's done nothing for you, friends. We respect the queen, but really she's done absolutely zero for you. And you would welcome the queen to your home. You would feel it a great privilege for her to come in. What about the Lord? What about Christ, who has done so much more, such tremendous things for thee, such amazing blessings he has bestowed and has to bestow upon you? And shouldn't we open the door and welcome him in? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, that's very close, isn't it? Right at the door is very close by. He comes to you. It should be the other way around. You should go to him. We should flee to him. We should run to him. But because we don't, he comes to us. He comes looking for us. He comes seeking us. He comes very close to us. Oh, friends, what a long distance we could say he came from heaven to earth. We're now approaching Christmas time. And so many people are thinking again about the razzmatazz of Christmas and the lights and the presents and the parties. But the main thing that we want people to remember is that Christ came from such a very long way, from a very far place. He came into this world. He took upon himself human flesh. The second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, condescended to take human flesh and was like one of us in all points except with sin. And he lived amongst us. He was near to us. He became like one of us, human in so many ways, just like us. And in as a human, as the God-man, he died for us to save us. How wonderful, friends, that he has come so close. He comes as a friend, not as an enemy. He comes as a savior to do you good. He's not a thief who knocks at your door, who is coming to steal from you. He's not a deceitful salesman who's coming to trick you and to extract money from you in an underhand way and to get you to sign up to things. No, friends, he comes to bless. This is a totally trustworthy person who comes, and he comes to dine with you. Look, he says here, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's fellowship. That's friendship. And that's what the Lord has come to do. He seeks entry to our lives to bring us back into a right relationship with God, to reconcile us with him so that we have the Savior with us throughout life, so that we have access to him throughout all our days, so that we can call God our Father in heaven, so that we can know peace with God, know his help in our life, know his power and his presence with us, leading us, guiding us, helping us, delivering us. Oh, friends, these are the free gifts that come with knowing the Lord, and so much more. He gives us power to overcome our sins, those things that hinder us and hurt us in so many ways. He comes to remove the guilt from our consciences and to make us clean. Behold, friends, behold, I stand at the door. Look, take note, pay attention to this, marvel at this. Christ, the Son of God, comes near to you, standing at your door, knocking, calling, waiting for you to open the door of your heart, beseeching you to open the door of your heart. Insulted God, pleading with worms like ourselves. The offended God, coming to the offender and pleading with them to open the door and to receive free pardon from him, to receive full salvation and eternal life. Amazing, friends. But let me tell you about, secondly, another amazing sight. Maybe this is even more amazing than the first one. What is it? Something that is even more astonishing than the first. Can it be? The first is already, first thing I've told you, Christ condescending to knock at the door of our hearts. That should make us stand in awe all on its own. Are you saying there's something else? Yes, friends. There is something else that is even more astonishing than this. Do you know what it is? Let me tell you. It's when you refuse to open the door. It's when you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ and refuse Him entry into your life. That is startling. How can you do it? How can you leave Him on the outside? How can you refuse Him entry? A person who dilly-dallies before they open the door, if at all, who procrastinates and leaves it, and leaves the Lord waiting outside their life, not really worried, not really bothered. He calls, He knocks again and again, repeatedly, amazingly. You don't open the door. Instead, maybe you double lock it. You bolt the door against the Savior. What an insult, friends, to Him who has done so much for us. If somebody else knocks at your door, you wouldn't treat them like that. You wouldn't treat them like you treat Christ. You would cordially, happily welcome them. If a family member knocks at your door, or if your friend, a good friend, comes calling, you will open the door wide. You will welcome them with a hearty look and a smile. And you will greet them. You won't let them go away. You will force them to come in, coerce them to come in if they are intending on going away. You want them in, but not so with Christ. If the world knocks at your door again, you open immediately. Immediately. No hesitation. But it's tricked you before. It's deceived you before. It promised to make you very happy before, and it never kept its promise. It promised you satisfaction, and it never gave you satisfaction. It promised to make you happy through riches, and instead, your life has only been more miserable on account of it. Yet still, when the world comes knocking with its temptations, you cordially welcome it into your heart and life. You embrace this trickster and welcome him. Or if sin comes knocking at your door, and it comes knocking very loudly, again, you open so willingly that door to him. It comes to take over your home. It's not coming as a visitor. It's going to come as a tyrant. Its intention is to rule in the home, to take over the place, to steal from you things, to steal from you your happiness, to steal from you holiness, to steal from you, to ruin you, friends. And yet you will let sin in, and you are willing to be a servant even in your own house. That's what sin will do. It never likes to be the servant. It has to be the boss. Oh, friends, all these you will speedily open the door to, but Christ is left standing outside. Why won't you open the door to him? Some people pretend they haven't heard any knocking. haven't heard any Christ calling or Christ knocking. They just want to carry on and pretend they have never heard anything. Some people, they know that Christ is knocking at the door of their lives, but they don't want him to come in. They don't want the interruption in their lives. Oh no, I'm too busy with life. I'm busy now, I'm watching a movie. I'm cleaning the house. I'm having a nap. I don't want to be disturbed. I've got too many things going on in my life to welcome Christ into my life. I can't do that. That's going to interrupt the normal flow of my life. It's too disruptive. And so Christ is left on the outside. Some friends deliberately bolt the door. They deliberately keep Christ out of their lives. There's no pretense with these ones. They know what they're doing. And we call them militant atheists, who deliberately keep out the Lord, bolt the door, tell Christ, not only refuse him entry, but they also tell him to go away. They want nothing to do with him. We want to be free from you. We don't believe in you. Be gone, they say to him. And with such words, people keep out Christ. Oh, friends, how can we close our hearts to the Savior? How can we close our hearts to one who has come to save us, to one who is our only hope in this life, our only hope of eternity, our only hope of heaven, our only hope of pardon? How can we close our hearts to him? We are saying we don't want all these things when we say we do not want Christ. We do not turn away from the love of family and friends. We appreciate their love. We rejoice in the love of our children and our parents. We respond to their love. Here is the love of Christ. Why don't we respond to it? Why don't we appreciate it? Why should everybody else be welcomed, but not him, not the Savior? Why should he be excluded, friends? Oh, surely you would count it a privilege to have somebody famous in your life. If you knew somebody who was very popular and you had access every now and again to this person, he was in your circle of friends, well, I'm sure you would tell everyone about it. But Christ comes and you refuse to add his name to your contact list. You don't want to know, though he offers it to you and he offers you access to him day after day, moment by moment, anytime you can call upon him and pray to him for help for in your time of need. But you refuse to add his name. But you may protest and you may say to me, well, preacher, I've never heard Christ knocking at the door of my heart. I've never heard his voice, but he has. Let me again tell you just some of the ways in which he knocks at the door of our hearts. Often he knocks through troubles, through a crisis that happens, and we're brought quite low and we don't know what to do. In those times, friends, it's like the Lord is speaking to you and asking you to pray and to call upon his name. Do you know, so often people have done that. People have come into a crisis in their life. I know someone, she came into a crisis because of a sickness, a disease in her life, very young lady. We told her, cry unto the Lord. And she did. And the Lord heard her prayer, I believe, and the Lord healed her. And she was wonderfully healed. But after that, she went back to living as a non-Christian. She went back away from the Lord. That's not the way it should be, friends. But our troubles, our crises, well, they're the Lord speaking to us, knocking at the door of our hearts to come in, to respond to him, to pray to him. Sometimes the Lord works through those illnesses even, or through a bereavement of a friend or a family member, and we see that loved one taken away. Right before our eyes, we see that still body, not moving, not breathing, not speaking, lifeless. And we're brought to think about life and death and what will happen to us at the end of life. Am I ready to meet God? Am I ready to die? Am I ready to face Him in judgment? All these things, friends, are ways in which the Lord speaks to us. It may be that you fall into serious sin. It may be you fall in some immoral way. And you recognize and you feel the guilt of what you have done is so very wrong. And the voice will come, oh, this is what you're really like. This is the true nature of your heart. It's a call to turn to Him. Oh, friends, are we not hearing the Lord's knocking today? Not only individually, but in this whole world. When we look at the virus, the COVID-19 virus, and how again and again repeatedly it's coming up and is taking so many lives. What is the virus, friends? But the way in which the Lord is knocking at this world, calling them to repentance, calling this world to turn to Him and to trust in Him, not to leave Him out of their lives. But are people listening? He knocks to us, friends, also, and speaks to us so wonderfully through His Word. Sometimes He comes so gently and speaks to us through the sermons that we hear, or through a verse that stands out for us in the Scripture, or we hear a verse of Scripture and it rings a bell in our hearts and we feel, that's for me, or that's me. Oh, friends, that's the Lord speaking to us. If it brings us to conviction and to make us realize our need of the Savior. What should we do then? Well, it's so simple, isn't it? Here the Lord Himself says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. We must open the door to Christ. Be willing to allow Him to come into our hearts. And if we are willing to invite Him into our hearts and to receive Him, then we must be willing to expel, to get rid of those things in our lives which are displeasing to Him. We must be willing to repent of our sins, to turn from our pride, to turn from our indifference to Him and our neglect of Him. We must be willing to let go of our self-righteousness and to invite Him in. We say, Lord, I don't want You to be on the outside of my life anymore. I want You to be my life, to take You as my Lord, as my Savior. I will trust in You. By faith, I will believe in You and what You have done on Calvary's cross to take away my sin. I trust in that entirely, completely. And we yield our lives over to Him. We ask Him not to stay in our lives as a guest who comes and goes, but we hand over our life to Him. We are willing to give over our life and trusting it into His hands. This is what He calls us to do. Stand, behold, I stand at the door. Friends, in the Greek, this is actually saying that He has been standing there and He continues to stand there. But for how long? He's been standing there a long time already. How long will He continue standing there? It won't be forever. There may come a time when He chooses to depart, to leave you to yourself. And then you will no more maybe hear His calling. You'll no longer be able to discern Him knocking at the door of your heart. Or how we must make use of every opportunity that he draws near to us. Don't leave it, friends. Let me close with one last point. At the end of time, when this world has been wrapped up and is no more, everyone will be gathered in one great congregation before God at that judgment day. And then the call will go out, separate, divide into two, those who are his on one side and those who are against Christ on the other side. Those who have welcomed him, he will say to those who opened the door and welcomed him in, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Enter into the joys of heaven and the joys of fellowship with me forever." That's your portion. But he will look to those on his left, to those who refused him entrance in this world, and those terrifying words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You told me to depart from your life. You would have none of me in your life. Now you for eternity will have none of me. Now your portion will be forever without me, without my goodness, without my grace, without any love from my part, and you'll be cast forever, friends, in eternal hell." Oh, what a sad thing, what a horrendous thing to be eternally separated from such a loving Savior and God as the Lord Jesus Christ. Come now, friends. I've tried to say these things to you, to beseech you on his behalf to open your heart to him. Give your heart and your life over to the Savior and receive him into your life for his glory. Let's pray together. O Lord, how we thank thee that thou, the Almighty and Eternal One, should so come and condescend to speak with us and deal with us in such an individual and patient and kind way. Lord, we pray, once again, help us to open our hearts and lives to thee, and that we may give ourselves so willingly and cordially into thy hands and know those blessings that we have spoken of tonight. Hear us, O Lord, we pray. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn, number 389. 389.